I think you'll agree this is a stunning recording of a service at Holy Spirit in Louisville made by Barbara Henning and Barbara Henning on the fiddle. And when I asked her about it, here was her reply.
Oh, man. Well, all I did was put the binaurals to the music stand and, you know, separate them. I put one on one end of the music stand, one on the other end of the music stand, and just had it sitting in front of Lorna and me. And the organ was situated in front of that, the console situated before that. So the keyboard, I don't know the exact layout, but of course, you know, you don't, when you listen to the organ, you don't hear what's coming out right at the manuals. You hear it, it's piped, it's a pipe organ. So you're gonna hear where the pipes are. And it's rather huge, it's a huge organ. And the Kurzweil that Philip Hines is using in the beginning with the harp sound on it, he's actually got it connected to speakers that are a little ways out, so that's why it sounds kind of far away.
Okay.
I don't know what the piece was he was playing.
What it was. Oh, you don't? Okay.
No, I don't. If I did, I'd tell you.
okay.
But he does the entrance song first, just by himself, before Emily the cantor announces it. It's Hallelujah, Sing with Jesus. And she sounds kind of like she's far away, too, because she is. She's below us. We're in the loft. It's like a, there's like three steps, and then you turn, and then there's a bigger staircase that goes straight up. It's made out of marble, and there's actually one on either end of the loft, and that's where the choir sings, and that's where Lorna and I are all the time. That's where I play from, is the loft. So I'm right next to the organ. So... and that's basically all I did. I just turned the Edinburgh R1 on and let her rip.
Okay.
Yes, I was playing the fiddle, and Philip Hines was playing the organ, and Emily, I don't know her last name, darn it. Well, whatever. Anyway, she's the regular, one of the regular cantors at Holy Spirit does the, it's kind of a, she provides what the songs are, and where to find them in the book, and also does the song response in the middle of the two readings.
Yeah.
So she welcomes people and sometimes she has to announce them to turn their cell phones and pagers off because you can really hear those things in that
place. Yeah, I'll bet.
Thank you.
Good evening. Please turn to our gathering song, number 914, Alleluia, Sing to Jesus, number 914.
It is the spirit of that loving God that is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The Gospel of the Lord. Today we celebrate two significant events, or perhaps I should better say, two states of being, which I believe have some things in common. One is the feast of the body and blood of our Lord, and the other is Father's Day. One is on the liturgical calendar, and the other is on the secular calendar. This year they happen to be coincidental, and they are not always that way. But, you know, to me, they both represent very holy ground. This feast day used to be called Corpus Christi, the body of Christ. And it is still so named in many documents and books and our Sunday bulletins. But you know, the current name, body and blood of our Lord, that's much more inclusive of just what we are called to reflect upon in this liturgical celebration. In this sacrament of the Eucharist, contemplate and celebrate the gift of the real presence of Jesus among us. Of course, that real presence of Christ is what is my blood of my new covenant with you, which will be shed for the benefit of all. So how are we to use this gift? What was Jesus' intent when he gave it to us? Well, being a part of us, Jesus coming within us through Holy Communion, we become his hands and his feet, his eyes and his ears. Jesus works in the world through us. Jesus died but once. His material body no longer exists on earth. We are Jesus' body on earth. And you know, Jesus can't do much here on this altar when consecrated. He can't do much reposing in that tabernacle. Or he can't do much even sitting within you in the pews here. No, to make this whole thing work, we, you and I, have to carry him with us. We carry him from this altar, down that aisle, out those doors, and into real life. To make this, to make this work, we have to put him in the street. We have to put him in the schoolyard. We have to bring him into the home, and we have to bring him to our workplace. All of the places that are outside those doors. Jesus can't do anything if we leave him confined to these four walls. So how does all of this relate to Father's Day? Well, I believe that good fathering, living our fatherhood within the framework of Christian values, is one great way to take Jesus from this altar, down that aisle, through those doors, and out into family life. Jesus made a covenant with us. And you know, fathers make covenants with their children. Jesus gave us the gift of himself. And you know, fathers do so with their children. Jesus sacrificed for us, and so do fathers for their children. Jesus broke bread with us, and so do fathers for their children. God is our perfect Father, and Jesus' humanity gives us the perfect role model and example. Sacrifice that is done in the spirit of love is the foundational element of fatherhood. We are all called time and time again to sacrifice for our children in all sorts of ways, both large and both small. Jesus, in his wisdom, you know, he chose ordinary men to be his apostles. Jesus was not looking for extraordinary fellows, but he was looking for ordinary men who would do extraordinary things well. God sees in those he chooses not only what the man is, but what he is capable of becoming as he labors under the mentorship of Christ. The vast majority of men called to fatherhood are plain, simple, ordinary folks who have been called by God to the extraordinary task of joining with our wives in the procreation of the species through the sacramental union of marriage. But even though I focus on fathering, it also takes mothering to make the whole system work. You know, the system is called parenting. Now, my hat is off to those men and women who are parenting their children without the presence and support of a spouse. There really must be a special place in heaven for them. As fathers, we are charged with much more than the provision of food, clothing, and shelter for our families. We are charged with endowing our children with Christian values and ethics, principles that will enable them to freely choose to become productive, loving, and compassionate members of the human community. Truly, this is an extraordinary challenge that is entrusted by God to ordinary men. Christian fatherhood is a divine call, and thankfully, most of us answer that call as best we can using just our ordinary skills. The rest, we trust to God. Fathering is not something that comes naturally to us, at least it didn't to me. There doesn't seem to be a fathering instinct that correlates to the maternal instinct. watch your children succeed and you say, yeah, we got it right. And then you watch them make mistakes and you wonder, where did we go wrong? Well, this type of Monday morning hindsight and speculation is of benefit to no one. As a father, I can be proud of my children's accomplishments and successes, but I cannot take credit for them. As a father, I grieve for my children in their failures, but I dare not claim responsibility for them. To do either diminishes my child's individuality, and it claims for myself prestige, power, and influence that would not be of my doing. You know, father-child relationships take time. They take lots of time. They take quality time. Fathering takes eye contact, and sometimes, yes, it takes hands-on butt contact. It takes a loving touch, whether to brush away a tear or soothe a skinned knee. It takes lots of hugging, and yes, it takes lots of crying and some scolding. You know, as a father, I can think of no better tribute that my child could say than that I was present to them when they needed me, and I let go of them when they needed their freedom. You know, we fathers may get a gift or a card today for our efforts, or maybe we won't, and that's okay, because it doesn't matter. Fathering is steady and honorable work in and of itself. It is truly God's work, and our reward, that's the love of our children that they return to us. I would like to close this homily by sharing with you a poem that was sent to me. It was sent to me by my cousin a few years ago, not this Father's Day, and it really touched my heart because it brought back many of my fathering memories. Allow me to close with this, but also let me give credit to S.E. Chung, who wrote this, and he entitled it The Whisper of a Child. A child's love is like a whisper, given in little ways we do not hear. But if you listen closely, it will be very clear. They often do not say it loud, but in how they come to you, Daddy, will you play with me? Mommy, tie my shoe. The many ways they tell you, that changes as they grow. Dad, I made the team today. Mom, I've got to go. Pop, I need some money. You see, there's this girl at school. Mama, I met a boy today, and wow, he's really cool. Dad, I've got something to tell you. I think she's the one. Mom, he asked me to marry him. Would you love him as your son? Dad, I've got some news for you. It's going to be a boy. Mom, I'm kind of scared of this, yet I'm filled with joy. The child's love is like a whisper, given in little ways we do not hear. But if you listen closely, it will be very clear. They often do not say it loud, but in how they come to you, Grandpa, will you play with me? Grandma, tie my shoe. It is never ending.
home with you for all summer activities and work on.